Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Today we celebrate the Lord's Supper, one of the two sacraments of the Presbyterian Church, along with baptism. And I call it the Lord's Supper, but what you call it might depend on what kind of a church you attend. Catholics usually refer to the whole service of worship as the Mass, and the Mass always has communion in that. And Mass is based on the Latin word, Missa, which talks about the way we are sent into the world after we are fed. The Eucharist is a word used by Episcopalians and others, and that means thanksgiving. And because an important part of this sacrament is giving thanks for all God's mighty works. And Presbyterians most often talk about the Lord's Supper or communion, but no matter what we call it, we're referring to the same action, the way that Jesus gives himself for our sins and for our salvation. Jesus says in Matthew, "This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins." And Presbyterians understand that by the power of the Holy Spirit, we are going to experience Christ's spiritual presence among us. It's not quite Christ's physical presence, as Catholics and Lutherans believe, but this is more than just the memory of Christ's presence, which traditions like the UCC believe. At this table, we do more than just remember Jesus' last meal with the disciples. We're not just reliving that Last Supper. Something important is happening spiritually when we celebrate this meal. Something is changing us as individuals and as a community. As God's forgiven people, we gather to share a meal that nourishes us and that plays a part in forming us as a community. So today I want to tell you a story. And you may have heard this before, because this is a story that preachers love. This is the story of Babette's Feast. And it's a short story written by Isaac Dinesen in the 1950s and then later made into a movie. And the story takes place in an ugly, impoverished fishing village. And there, an austere church had been founded by a very stern man, and he called upon his followers to renounce all earthly pleasures. And so the members of the church wore only black, and the only thing they ate was cod and boiled gruel, yum. And they just barely tolerated life on this earth as a way to get to heaven. Well, eventually the stern leader died, and his two daughters tried to carry on his mission. But soon some bad splinters in the church became apparent. One man had a grudge against another because of a bad business dealing, and a pair of old ladies hadn't spoken to each other for over a decade. And there were rumors about an affair between some of the members. So in this situation, one rainy night, a woman knocked at the door, and she asked for shelter. She didn't speak their language, but she gave them a letter of introduction that said that she had lost her family in the Civil War in France. Her life was in danger. And then the letter ended by saying, "Babette can cook." Well, the sisters were not at all sure that this was a good idea, because they didn't really need a cook. All they cooked was boiled cod and gruel. But, you know, they were kind at heart, and so they eventually agreed to keep Babette. And so they would give her room and board, and in exchange, she would do some chores, like cooking their boiled cod and gruel and feeding the poor of the town. So she ended up staying with them 12 years, cooking those meals, assisting with their worship service. And then the sisters started planning a celebration to honor the 100th anniversary of their father's death, or his father's birth. And right at the same time, out of the blue, a letter came for Babette. And she had not received any letters at all in the 12 years that she'd been there. But this letter announced that she had won the lottery in Paris. A friend of hers had put her number in, and her number had come up. She had won 10,000 francs, and that was a lot of money. And so they congratulated Babette, but inwardly they were pretty sorry, because surely with all that money, surely she was going to be leaving, and they had grown to rely on her. But she had a request for them. She says, "In 12 years, I have not asked anything of you, but now I would like to prepare the meal for the anniversary service for your father, and I would like to prepare it in my own way. I would like to cook you a real French dinner." I might say yum to that. But the sisters were not at all sure, because they were used to the way they did things. But they felt they owed Babette something. Well, their misgivings got even bigger when they saw the amazing provisions that began to arrive. There were crates of small birds that came in, and cases of wine, and the entire head of a cow, and fresh vegetables, and truffles, and pheasant, and ham. Oh, and all of these ended up in Babette's kitchen. This was worldly fare. The church didn't want to have anything to do with that. And so the two sisters went to the remaining members of their church, and there were only 11 of them in total at that time. And so they talked about it, and with a heavy heart, they agreed they were going to eat this fancy French meal, but they were not going to enjoy it. And they were not going to offer any words of praise, or they weren't going to offer any comment at all to Babette. They didn't want her to get the wrong idea, because one's mouth and one's tongue, I mean, you're just supposed to use that to praise God. You're not supposed to indulge in exotic worldly tastes. Well, on the day of the dinner, the church members were joined by a man of the world, the nephew of one of the members. And the table was lovely, the food was smelling wonderful, but the members were quiet, just as they had agreed. They weren't going to enjoy the meal, they weren't going to talk, especially talk with one another. Only the man of the world, this general, started commenting on the food. "Wow, this is incredible! Turtle soup? Blinis Davidoff? Here in this isolated village? I can't believe it! I've only tasted food like this in one place in the whole world, the famous Café Anglais in Paris. That restaurant was renowned for its woman chef." He was the one expressing all the joy and gratitude that this food brought forth. But gradually, the banquet started to work almost a magical effect on the people, and their blood warmed, and their tongues loosened, and they began to speak. They talked about the old days when their leader was still alive, and they remembered stories that they had in common. The man who had cheated another man in the business deal, he finally confessed. And the two ladies who had feuded started talking with one another and bringing one another up to date on what had happened in their lives. A woman burped, and the man next to her, without even thinking about it, said, "Hallelujah!" After dinner, the little company went outside into the town that was coated with snow, and the sky was ablaze with beautiful stars. And the members joined hands around the fountain and sang as they had not sung for years, the old songs of faith. And they felt as though their sins had been washed as white as wool. And they danced around the fountain like little lambs. After everyone had finally gone home, the sisters tracked down Babette, who was sitting exhausted in the kitchen, and they said to her very tentatively, "Babette, that was quite a nice dinner. We will all remember this evening when you have gone back to Paris." And she said, "I'm not going back to Paris. All my friends and relatives are gone, and now the money has been spent on a meal." "What? 10,000 francs on a meal?" "Don't be shocked," she told them. That's what a proper dinner for 12 costs at the Café Anglais, where I was the chef. So this is a story of grace, the story of a gift that is expensive, that is wildly out of proportion to the people who received it. And it was significant beyond their ability to appreciate it. And yet, even though they had no idea what was going on, the participants in that meal were changed. Their hearts were warmed by the delicious food. And as they ate, old divisions began to fall away, and they moved toward reconciliation, and they found joy in being together and in worshiping. And this is what we are meant to experience at the Lord's table: unity, reconciliation, joy. And that's why we call this a celebration and a feast. We're not supposed to be gloomy and sad when we gather here. We're supposed to be thankful for all that God has done for us, thankful that God has sent God's Son to save us from our sin, to save us from ourselves. And we didn't come here perfect. We came with our sin. We came to receive what God has offered, not to offer up our perfection. As the people in Babette's feast, we are washed clean when we gather at this table. And the church is where we need to be as sinners, because here is where we receive Christ's body and Christ's spirit. God gives us forgiveness. And we who receive this gift do not deserve it. We don't appreciate it. We don't even recognize most of the time what this gift is. But it has been given, this amazing gift of forgiveness and salvation, the gift of Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.